The reading today is from Matthew chapter 13, verses 1 to 23, and can be found on page 978 in the church Bibles. The parable of the sower. That same day, Jesus went out of the house and sat by the lake. Such large crowds gathered round him that he got into a boat and sat in it, while all the people stood on the shore. Then he told them many things in parables, saying, a farmer went out to sow his seed. As he was scattering the seed, some fell along the path, and the birds came and ate it up. Some fell on rocky places, where it did not have much soil. It sprang up quickly, because the soil was shallow. But when the sun came up, the plants were scorched, and they withered because they had no root. Other seed fell among thorns, which grew up and choked the plants. Still, other seed fell on good soil, where it produced a crop, 100, 60, or 30 times what was sown. Whoever has ears, let him hear. The disciples came to him and asked, why do you speak to the people in parables? He replied, because the knowledge of the secrets of the kingdom of heaven has been given to you, but not to them. Whoever has will be given more, and they will have an abundance. Whoever does not have, even what they have will be taken from them. This is why I speak to them in parables. Though seeing, they do not see. Though hearing, they do not hear or understand. In them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah. You will be ever hearing, but never understanding. You will be ever seeing, but never perceiving. For this people's heart has become calloused. They hardly hear with their ears, and they have closed their eyes. Otherwise they might see with their eyes, hear with their ears, understand with their hearts, and turn, and I would heal them. But blessed are your eyes because they see, and your ears because they hear. For truly I tell you, many prophets and righteous people longed to see what you see, but did not see it, and to hear what you hear, but did not hear it. Listen then to what the parable of the sower means. When anyone hears the message about the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what was sown in their heart. This is the seed sown along the path. The seed falling on rocky ground refers to someone who hears the word and at once receives it with joy. But since they have no root, they last only a short time. When trouble or persecution comes because of the word, they quickly fall away. The seed falling among the thorns refers to someone who hears the word, but the worries of this life and the deceitfulness of wealth choke the word, making it unfruitful. But the seed falling on good soil refers to someone who hears the word and understands it. This is the one who produces a crop, yielding 100, 60, or 30 times what was sown. This is the word of the Lord.
Great, please keep the passage open in front of you. So page 978, and let me pray for us. Father, we thank you for your word. Thank you that we can hear it, we can read it. And Father, please would you help us to understand it and to apply it to our lives, to sit under your word and to be shaped by it. So So teach us this morning, we pray. Amen. We love stories. We love the humour of them, the danger of them. Some people even seem to like the horror of them. Never understood that. We pay money to listen to or to watch stories, either at the theatre or cinema or on our TVs. We will pay money to watch stories. And Jesus told stories, many stories. Often they were about pretty normal situations, pretty everyday situations. A farmer going out and sowing seed, or a family situation, or a fisherman going and fishing. They were often quite ordinary situations. And he told lots of stories about them. And often people will say, Jesus told stories because he was such a good communicator. He told stories, they will say, because stories convey truth in a way that's clear and for people to understand and grasp and are easily memorable. He told stories so that the truth could be clear, people say. Except that when he was asked why he spoke in parables, that's not what he said. We've come to the start of a new series looking at stories Jesus told. So we're going to look at lots of the parables he told. And we start with this one, the parable of the sower, because the structure of it is that you've got the parable of the sower, then you've got the disciples speaking to Jesus and saying, why do you speak in parables? And Jesus giving an explanation, and then you've got the meaning of the parable of the sower. So we've come to it because of that bit in the middle, and actually that relates to the actual parable, about Jesus explaining why he speaks in parables. It's helpful, isn't it, as we begin this series looking at stories Jesus told to understand why he spoke in stories. And so let's see why he did. We're going to head into the middle of the passage first to see that explanation before we come to the parable of the sower. So have a look at verse 10. It says, the disciples came to him and asked, why do you speak to the people in parables? He replied, because the knowledge of the secrets of the kingdom of heaven has been given to you, but not to them. So Jesus, to begin with, the first part of the passage is speaking to the crowd. Now he's speaking to the disciples. They come to him and ask him, why do you speak in parables? And Jesus says the reason is because there are two kinds of people. There are two kinds of people. Speaking to the disciples, he says, there are those who've been given the knowledge of the secrets of the kingdom of heaven. And that's you, disciples. You've been given that. And then there are those who haven't. And that's the crowd. Two kinds of people. Now, just to pause on that for a moment, Jesus often in the parables does talk about a division between two kinds of people. Often in the parables, you've got two kinds of people. Jesus is saying humanity can be split in two. So later in Matthew 13, there's another parable about a farmer and seeds, and Jesus talks about the weeds and the wheat. Or a bit later on, he talks about good fish and bad fish. Or you may know other parables where Jesus talks about the sheep and the goats. Jesus is very clearly saying mankind can be split into two kinds of people. Those who are in and those who are out. Those in the kingdom of God and those not in the kingdom of God. Now that's pretty blunt. We can find that kind of bluntness a bit unsettling. We like to say, well, you know, everyone's different. Maybe there are different degrees of good and evil. different kinds of people when it relates to Christianity. You've got those who will say they're Christians and never go to church, and those who say they're Christians and do go to church maybe once a year or once a month or maybe even every week. There are different gradations. You've got people of faith, people of no faith. People who say they're Christians, people who don't say they're not. And you've got different gradations within there. But Jesus is very, very clear with the parables. Mankind can be split into two kinds of people. Those who are in and those who are out. Good fish, bad fish. Weeds and wheat. And in particular, in this explanation that Jesus gives, he relates it to understanding. So he says, the knowledge of the secrets of the kingdom of heaven have been given to you, but not to them. And then verse 12. Whoever has will be given more, and they will have in abundance. Whoever does not have, even what they have will be taken from them. So those who've got the secrets of the knowledge of the kingdom of heaven will be given more and more. But those not, well, even what they've got will be taken away, Jesus says. You either get it or you don't. And that idea he keeps speaking about. So verse 13, this is why I speak to them in parables. Though seeing, they do not see. Though hearing, they do not hear or understand. And he repeats this, quoting from Isaiah, verse 14, you'll be ever hearing, but never understanding. You'll be ever seeing, but never perceiving, for this people's heart has become calloused. They hardly hear with their ears, and they have closed their eyes. Otherwise, they might see with their eyes and hear with their ears, turn with their hearts, hear with their ears, understand with their hearts, and turn, and I would heal them. Jesus is saying, those people out there, the crowd, those people, they don't get it. They hear, but they don't hear. But there are people who understand. Verse 16, but blessed are your eyes because they see, and your ears because they hear. For truly I tell you, many prophets and righteous people longed to see what you see, but did not see it, and to hear what you hear, but did not hear it. Two kinds of people, Jesus is saying. Those who hear and understand, and those who hear and don't understand. And he says, that's why he speaks in parables. Because he says, some have open ears and will understand more and more. And others don't understand and won't really get the parables. Jesus, you see, didn't speak in parables to make the truth easy for all to understand. But he also didn't speak in parables to completely conceal the truth. If that was his purpose, he could have just not spoken at all. No, he speaks in parables because some will get them and others won't. Now, what difference should that make to the way we approach the parables in this series? Well, there's a degree of hiddenness to them. That's what Jesus is saying, isn't it? There's a degree of hiddenness. You need to try to understand them, to say, do I really get what this means? Do I really see? Do you remember, a while ago, some of you will remember, there was a craze for magic eye pictures. Random dot stereograms is the sort of technical term for them. I've got one for you here. There you go. Some of you know what to do with these. Can anyone see what that is? Number. Say again? Number. A number? No. Dolphin. Yes. Well done. Dolphin. Shark. Dolphin. Yeah. Yeah. Very good. Hands up if you can see it. Obviously, Max can. We've got one who can see and understand. Great. We'll all look to you. Anyone else see it? You've got to do, if you've ever done them before, you've got to slightly cross your eyes, and it takes time. And now, if I just keep that up, you're just going to take ages trying to look for it. And once you find it, you can see it. I find with those, it takes a bit of time to see it, and then you can look around the picture, and then you start to get it properly. It takes a bit of time looking at it. It's a fascinating scene. You just anyone else got it yet? No, still not. It's there, honestly. I didn't tell Max to say that before. Some of you are now getting migraines because you're trying to find it. Anyway, you can either see it or you can't. And some people genuinely can't see them because of the way the brain and the eyes work. But most people can if you learn how to do it. You can either see it or you can't. And actually, with those, it does take a bit of time, takes a bit of effort, takes a bit of working out how to see them. And once you can see it, you can see it. So with the parables, you've got to spend time with them. You've got to say, what does it really mean? What's it really all about? They're not just surface level. They take time to understand. They take effort. Now, that effort to understand is not merely an intellectual effort. It's not just that those who are super intellectuals will get them. It's not that if you get a degree in theology, then you'll go, aha, now I've got it. Because actually, it's a spiritually revealed thing, isn't it? Jesus is saying, look, the knowledge of the secrets of the kingdom of heaven have been given to you. And those who understand will be given more. It's a given thing. But that doesn't mean that, therefore, there's no effort on our part. The two go together. Interesting, in Mark's gospel, when Mark gives you the parable of the sower, immediately afterwards, there are more parables, one of which is one in which Jesus says, consider carefully what you hear. With the measure you use, it will be measured to you. With the measure you use, it will be measured to you. That's in terms of your thinking and your understanding. In other words, if you use a small measure, in other words, I'm not going to spend much time in it, I'm not going to think about it very much, you're not going to get much from it. If you spend more time in it, if you use a big measure, in other words, you put effort in, you think about it, you persevere with it, you'll get more. So it's not unrelated to how much effort you put in. So what does that mean for us? It means we've got to be asking, do we really understand these parables? Are we spending time in them, not just going for the surface level, but really getting what they mean? Take time with them, not just on Sundays, not just in the sermon, but afterwards as well. Think about them. Jesus is saying there are two kinds of people. Those who hear and understand, and those who hear and don't understand. Which are we? Which are you? Now, before you answer that, we need to listen to the parable of the sower. Because Jesus connects what he's just said, what we've just looked at, with the parable of the sower. I mean, you can see that in the structure. You've got a sort of sandwich construction, haven't you? You've got the parable of the sower given to the crowd with no explanation. Then Jesus being asked about why he speaks in parables. Then you've got the explanation. In other words, the two things relate. The parable of the sower and the explanation in the middle as to why Jesus speaks in parables. They relate to each other. And at the beginning of the explanation of the parable of the sower, verse 18, Jesus says, listen then, or listen therefore, to what the parable of the sower means. So Jesus is saying, this parable of the sower relates to what I've just said there. But Jesus has just said there are two kinds of people. Those who hear and understand, and those who hear and don't understand. And then in the parable of the sower, he says, there are four kinds of people. So which is it? Jesus, how does this fit? Are there two kinds of people? Or are there four kinds of people? We're going to have to apply our minds and think and say, Jesus, what do you mean? Let's see if we can understand. Now, keep in mind, as we go through the parable, that Jesus has just said two kinds of people, those who hear and understand, those who hear and don't understand. And let's go through the parable. So Jesus talks about a farmer who goes out and sows seed. And the seed falls on four different kinds of soil. And the first kind is the path. Verse 19. When anyone hears the message about the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what was sown in their heart. This is the seed sown along the path. Okay, clear. Jesus is saying, this is someone who, we're told, hears the message about the kingdom. Now, every soil hears. Everyone hears, Jesus is saying. They all hear. But they don't respond. So they hear about the message of the kingdom. In other words, they hear about Jesus, that he is Lord, that he came and is king, and that we are to submit to him. They maybe, now you'd say, they hear the gospel of Jesus' death and resurrection. They hear about the good news and don't respond. The devil comes and takes away that seed, snatches it away. These are people who hear and don't respond. They come to church or go on Christianity Explored. They hear, but nothing happens. This is why sometimes you'll have found, if you talk to people about Jesus, why it can be so bafflingly unproductive. You're telling someone the best news the world has ever heard, and yet there is nothing. There's a kind of glazed eye look at you. It's like being in a house where all the electricity is tripped. You turn on the light switch, nothing happens. Turn on the kettle, nothing happens. You speak to people about Jesus, nothing. This is why. Now, it's possible that people might come to church and be like this. It's worth asking yourself, is this you? And maybe you come along because you just like being with the people. They're lovely people. And maybe you come along because you like the singing. Maybe because you like the preaching. Maybe because you like the coffee. You come along week by week. But maybe you've never actually responded to the message, to the gospel of the Lord Jesus. There's no reality of a relationship for you with God. You never pray apart from when you're here at church, or you never read God's word apart from when you're in the service. There's no reality to the relationship. And Jesus would say, well, you like the path. You hear it but don't respond. And Jesus' warning here is those people are definitely out, aren't they? They hear but don't understand. And if that's you, keep listening. So they hear but don't understand. Second kind of soil, verse 20. The rocky ground. Verse 20. The seed falling on rocky ground refers to someone who hears the word and at once receives it with joy. Okay, so here's someone who, they hear, everyone hears, and they receive it with joy. Now, this seems very positive, doesn't it? Maybe here is someone who has understood. Maybe. After all, they must have grasped the gospel intellectually to respond with joy, mustn't they? Maybe they've grasped it, responded to it in such a way that everyone knows that they are thrilled by it. They talk to others about saying how great it is to have responded, how great Jesus is. They're so overjoyed with it. They've heard, responded with joy. But, verse 21, since they have no root, they last only a short time. When trouble or persecution comes because of the word, they quickly fall away. So they're temporary disciples. Even though they were joyful when they heard, when things become difficult, they fall away. They give up. Now, in this country, it's not likely that we're going to face, that you're facing sort of big persecution from the state, but nevertheless, it can still be difficult, can't it, being a Christian? You know, there are plenty of things the Bible teaches that our culture disagrees with. So to be known as someone who follows Jesus can be tough. It can make us unpopular with family or friends. We can feel isolated. And some at that point will fall away. Now, is that someone who understands? They've heard, but have they understood? In terms of Jesus's hearing and understanding. Let's come back to that. Third type of soil, thorny ground, verse 22. Sorry, I'm not keeping up with the PowerPoint. There we go, thorny ground. Verse 22, the seed falling among the thorns refers to someone who hears the word, but the worries of this life and the deceitfulness of wealth choke the word, making it unfruitful. So, again, they hear, everyone hears, but he says the worries of this life and deceitfulness of wealth choke the word, and it's unfruitful. Now, of the three so far, path, rocky, thorny, I think this is the one we're most in danger of. Because there are a lot of worries in this life. There are lots of things we can be worried about. And if you're thinking, no, there aren't that many, you just need to give it a bit of time. It will come to you. We know that there are loads of worries. You can worry about all sorts of things, can't we? If you've got children, if they're younger children, you're worried at the moment about them starting the new school year. Have you got everything sorted? Are they going to be all right? If they're changing school, you worry about that. For older children, as they go on to university or to other things, or even older children, are they all right in the life decisions they're making? And what about if they've got children, your grandchildren, maybe you're worried about them and what they're doing. Are they going to be all right? Maybe they need more of your time and support. All kinds of things that can worry us. And not just things to do with family, but also to do with health. We can worry about our health a lot, can't we? And there can be all sorts of other worries. And all of them can wrap around us like thorns and choke the word. And even if we've decided, okay, yeah, day by day, I'm going to have my quiet time, I'm going to make sure I do it, the worries can take us away from it. Because I find this, I'm sure you do too at times, that you say, now I'm going to have my quiet time, I'm going to read God's word and I'm going to pray, and you read a bit of God's word, you take in absolutely nothing, and you spend the time mainly just worrying about what you were worrying about before anyway. You come away from it going, I've not actually really prayed about that thing, I've just worried. And actually, that's the thorns, isn't it? We've not really spent time in God's word. We've just spent time worrying. And we can end up not coming to church because we say, well, I need to go and be with family. I need to go and deal with those other things. I need to deal with all sorts of things. And so we don't come to church, maybe, or don't get to home group, or don't get to other things. And actually, we can subtly encourage our children down this line at times. Exam time, let's say exam time at school. I think this can be a tricky time, can't it? It just is a hard time, a pressured time. But sometimes parents will say to children, well, Dad, don't worry about getting to church during exam time. Don't worry about getting to youth group or getting to times when you're going to read God's word. You've just got so much else on. Don't worry about going to those things. And subtly, what we're saying to them is actually those other things are more important than God and God's word. And God's word is not essential for you, but those other things are more important. Actually, at those pressure times, at those exam times, yes, we need to be careful, we need to be sensitive. But actually, at those times, God's word is even more important. And we need to be teaching our children to say, actually, though God's word trumps everything else. You need it, especially in the pressured times. And that's just the worries. Jesus says, what about the deceitfulness of wealth? Wealth is deceitful. It doesn't attack you from the front. It comes in through the windows. It grabs hold of you, the deceitfulness of wealth. You say, actually, I need money. I always need just a bit more money. I always need just a bit more. And actually, therefore, we can end up using time that we should be spending in God's word or with God's people on our career. And it can be acceptable amongst us to say, well, I've got a very demanding job. And just that phrase can be enough for people to go, oh well, that's a good enough excuse. That's all right. And actually, we need to be careful there, don't we? That's the thorns wrapping around. Now, there are demanding jobs that demand a lot of time. But you've got to be so careful that that doesn't then just become an excuse to let the thorns wrap around you and for the word to become unfruitful in your life. And in other versions of this parable, when Jesus teaches, he says it's not just worries and wealth, it's also pleasures. And that can be a danger for us as well. That we say, actually, rather than coming to church, I could go and join that sports club, or go and play golf, or go and do all sorts of other things. Maybe even just say, I just need time for me, just to spend on my own, just to spend that time by myself. And the issue is the pattern of it, that it can become kind of, well, therefore I get to church less and less, or I spend less and less time in God's word myself, and don't get to things where I'm going to be fed and taught. And so the thorns grow and the word is unfruitful. And we all know people like that. People who maybe used to be here, but worries, wealth or pleasure have sadly taken them away. Do people like that understand? They've heard, but have they understood? Come to the last kind of soil. And don't forget, the way that stories and jokes and things like that tend to work, which is they lead towards the end, don't they? There's normally the punchline at the end. The twist is at the end. So often with Jesus' stories. Let's see the good soil. Verse 23. But the seed falling on good soil refers to someone who hears the word and understands it. This is the one who produces a crop yielding 100, 60, or 30 times what was sown. Here's someone who hears and understands, which must mean that all the previous soils did not understand. Which helps us know what it means to really understand. People who really understand don't just hear the message. They all hear. They don't just read their Bibles or come to church on Sundays or get to home groups. Just because we do that doesn't mean we've understood. It doesn't mean just understanding intellectually either, because the rocky ground did that, didn't they? They responded with joy. They must have understood intellectually to some extent. No, real understanding perseveres with God's word through difficulties, sticks with Jesus' word when it gets hard. They keep going. And those who understand will not be drawn away by other things, by worries and wealth and pleasure, because they see that Jesus and his word is more important, is more of a delight, so they will stick with God's word. And real understanding produces fruit. And Jesus says sometimes 100, sometimes 60, or sometimes 30 times what was sown. And from what I gather from the commentaries, they would say that's not vast amounts of productivity. You know, I gather 30-fold increase is sort of fairly standard, and 60 is more, and 100 is quite, you know, pretty good. Jesus isn't saying, you know, it's super abundant. That's not the point of it. He's just saying, look, there are different degrees of fruitfulness, but the issue is whether it's just an ordinary level of fruitfulness, they do produce fruit. The word of God has worked in them. As they stick with it, as they seek to obey it, put it into practice, it's produced fruit. So how can we be good soil? If you've gone through and you've gone like, I think I'm in danger here. I might be path, I might be rocky soil, I might be thorny soil. How can we be good soil? And the answer is by persevering with God's word, prioritizing it, reading it, and putting it into practice. In the end, there really are two kinds of people. There really are two kinds of people, Jesus is saying. Those who hear and understand, and those who hear and don't understand. And the parable of the sower is saying, there's more than one way to hear and not understand. Do you get that? The parable of the sower is saying, there's more than one way to hear and not understand. We might just ignore the word, like the path. We might give up on it when things get difficult, like the rocky soil. We might get drawn away and become unfruitful like the thorny soil. But there's only one way to be good soil. And that's to stick with it, to persevere with it, to put it into practice and bear fruit. So the question for us as we start this series and as we go through the different parables is, do we really hear and understand? Do we get it? There's a hiddenness about parables. Do we understand them? But not just understand them intellectually. Will we stick with them and apply them and live them out and bear fruit? Will we have ears to hear? Let's pray. Father, thank you for the challenge in your word. And we pray, please, now as we come to the beginning of this series, Father, thank you for the stories Jesus told. Please help us to understand them. Help us, Father, to stick with them, not to give up, not to be drawn away from your word, but to stick with it and apply it to our lives. Father, may we be good soil as we read the parables. Amen.